This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Return to Metropolitan Park, April 29th and 30th, with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. With The Perfect Circle, The Offspring, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Cedar, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, The Pretty Reckless, and more. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all tickets and more.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by filmmaker Eric Blue. Eric joins us today to speak on his newest film, Beacon Point. Eric, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, Walter?
Hey, doing well. Man, I'm super excited to talk to you. I had a chance to check out the screener for this new film, and I loved it. You somehow were able to combine, science fiction, horror, and action in this film, and it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun making it. Beacon Point is... been 3 years in the making. It's been a long journey, but very rewarding. And I'll tell you, the best part is right now, because May 2nd, we're releasing it to the world on video on demand. And then July 4th, it'll come out on DVD at like Walmart, Redbox, Target, all that good stuff. So yeah, I can't wait for people to see it. It's an awesome movie. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was the story behind this film? What inspired you to make it? Because I know you said it's been so many years in the making. Was this a film that you always had on your heart to do?
Well, it's one of those things. As an independent filmmaker, you juggle the, storytelling and creativity and then budget, right? So as an indie filmmaker, you don't always have the budget you want, but it does allow you to get very creative in other ways. So what I did was I'm a huge sci-fi thriller fan. I love The X-Files. I love stuff like that. So that was the kind of movie I wanted to make. I wanted to make a movie that I'd want to watch. So that's what I did. And it kind of led us, to use local elements. So I live in the South. I live in Georgia. And what I wanted to do was show the beauty and some of the history of the area. So we used the Appalachian Trail and the Great Smoky Mountains as a backdrop. And it introduced some very creepy and eerie elements into the movie, and we kind of ran with that. Being out in the woods at night is a scary thing. Our movie's about a group of hikers that get abducted by aliens. I'm not giving anything away that the trailer doesn't already show. But that's what it's about. So what better place than the Great Smoky Mountains that have these phenomenal Cherokee legends and UFO sightings and strange happenings to base the movie on. So that's really where it came from. And then I kind of dipped into some personal experiences with camping and strange events while out in the woods to kind of blend the story together. So there's a lot of personal experiences kind of weaved into the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about kind of what got you into filmmaking. I know that, you said you've been working on this film for quite a while. Tell me what, I guess, inspired you to become a filmmaker.
I can put the dart right on the timeline of where the lights went off in my head that I wanted to be a filmmaker. 1977, Star Wars premiered to the world. I was a kid. I'm dating myself here a little bit. I was probably five or six years old, and my dad and I stood in this line for like an hour and a half and went in and watched Star Wars, and it absolutely blew my mind. It was like, wow. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen, and, there had never really been a movie like that back then. And at that moment, I walked out of there, and I was like, I want to make movies. I want to do that for a living. That's what I want to do, and I'll tell you, it's stuck with me ever since. I've been very focused on what I want to achieve, and that I want to be a writer, director, and here I am. So it's been really fun.
That's awesome. Is juggling the roles of writer and director? I'm sure that it's pretty arduous.
And producer. Like,
oh, and producer. Is
yeah.
It, you know, with wearing multiple hats like that, does it ever become draining?
Yeah, you know, the good thing, though, for the most part, writing and directing, there are almost two different phases of the project. Like, when I've got my writing hat on, I'm really just writing. I wrote this movie with my co-writer, Tracy Carroll. She's an amazing writer. And so we worked really well together. But it was kind of a phase of its own. So, you know, I didn't really worry too much about thinking like a director. I just tried to write the story that I wanted to write. The good part is that when you get into the phase of the project where you're directing, because you're one of the writers, you know exactly where you want to take it and how you want to tell the story and what the characters are thinking. So it makes it a lot easier in some ways. You know, the hard part was also being a producer in there as well. You know, as we often do as indie filmmakers, we've got to wear a lot of hats. You know, that being said, we still had a lot of people involved in this project and a lot of help. But I wore multiple hats, as did my wife, Karen. You know, she did, and my, you know, my co-producers, Scott Solomon, Matt Ackerman. You know, we all did as much as we could because we had to. And we love, you know, and we love the project, and we love making movies.
Absolutely, absolutely. On being married, is it tough, you know, being married and balancing your passion for art and entertainment?
You know, the good news is my wife is a production designer, so she's in the business too. So when we go out and work on a movie, we do it together, and it's a family affair. You know, even my son, you know, would come out to set and stuff. So it was actually really nice because like I had a lot of support and a lot of help, and she knows exactly what I'm going through because she's there with me.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I don't think all filmmakers have that.
Yeah, you're right. From what I hear, yeah, you are definitely right. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this film. Now, filming it, was it particularly arduous? I know that you worked on it for quite some time. You know, there's always roadblocks when you're doing any type of creative work. Would you say that this film was particularly arduous to make?
I mean, you know, when you're in the heat of things, it seems like it sometimes at the moment. But, you know, looking back, it really wasn't. Here, so let me break it down for you. I spent about 4.5-5 months with Tracy writing it, okay? Once I had the initial idea, we spent 4 or 5 months writing it. Then we spent probably 6 to 8 months raising the money. That was actually the hardest part. The hardest part is always raising the money. And selling the movie is pretty tough, too. A lot, you'd be surprised how many indie films never get distribution. So we spent 6 or 8 months raising the money. We spent 25 days shooting the movie. You know, we spent about 2.5 months prepping for the movie, and then we spent 25 days shooting the movie. And then we spent, you know, a year and a half or whatever it was with post-production. And what that means is the editing, all the sound finishing, you know, overdubs, sound cleanup, color correction. We did a lot of visual effects stuff. And with visual effects, we did a lot of stuff that you won't even know that we did because it was stuff like removing a power line or an airplane out of the sky, you know, stuff like that, you know, removing a blemish on someone's face or something like that you don't even know is there, but it's so crucial to really make the movie sparkle. So, you know, 3 years went by working on this movie. Now, that's a long time for a big budget movie. It's not necessarily a long time for an indie film. I'm sure you've spoken to a lot of indie filmmakers over the years, and you'll get all over the map. You know, some guys take 5 years, some guys do it really fast, but 3 years is a pretty respectable turnaround on an indie film, especially of this caliber. I think when you see it, and I'm, you know, to all those folks out there, when you watch it, it stands up. I put my movie up against any movie out there, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say, I guess, is the biggest misconception about filmmaking? I mean, so many people that aren't involved in filmmaking have, you know, varying opinions of, you know, what it's like to be involved in the industry and what it's like to make a film. But you yourself, being a filmmaker, what would you say is, I guess, the biggest misconception about, you know, filmmaking?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think the biggest misconception is that it's this sexy, glamorous life. You know, making a movie is just, you know, it's just the coolest thing in the world, and it's not really that hard. And you know, and you know, anybody could throw together a movie. You know, I could make a better movie. I mean, how many people have said, "Oh, I can make a better movie than that"? You know, watching some movie, it's like, really? You really think you could? Because it's pretty darn hard. I think the biggest misconception is how difficult it is, and really how much hard work it is. I'll tell you, Walter, it's a lot of really, really hard work. You know, and every phase of it's like that. And whether it's, you know, an 18-hour day, which we didn't have many of those. We only had like one or two. But whether it's a really long day in the heat, you know, with bugs eating you in the woods and you know, people are getting cranky and it's physically tough, it's emotionally tough, whether it's that or whether it's sitting in an editing room for 12 hours, you know, starting to lose sight of what you're doing because you've been staring at the same thing for a year and a half. Whether it's trying to get investors to give you money and all you hear is the word no constantly. So, you know, the biggest thing I'll say is when people ask me, what does it take to be a filmmaker? What it takes is you really, really, really got to want to do it because it's not easy. It's very discouraging at times. It's not this glamorous, sexy thing like you see, you know, at the Oscars. You know, that's the upper 1%. You know, for us everyday filmmakers, the guys like me that are making indie films, it's not always sexy. It's not always glamorous. Everyone's telling you no. Everybody's telling you you're wrong or you suck. And, you know, it's tough, but I'll tell you, the payoffs are huge. I'm doing what I love. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm creating my vision. I get to work with some of the coolest people in the world. It's a tight-knit family, and there's nothing rather, you know, I'd be doing. So it's very rewarding, too. Don't get me wrong.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I like how real you were with it. I mean, you definitely didn't pull any punches. I mean, you gave an unapologetic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, because, you know, there are people out listening to this interview, and, you know, they may want to get into filmmaking. And, I mean, by you just telling the truth, I mean, you saved, you know, I mean, you at least are telling them, you know, what to expect, which is
more
than most people would do. So that's,
you know, the other thing is for those aspiring filmmakers out there, and I'm sure there's a bunch of them, is that you don't need to go to film school. I went to film school, and, you know, that's great and all, but it's not a necessity by any means. With the way technology is now and the way with all the resources out there, you can do your own film school. You know, go online. There's a ton of stuff online, whether it's an article or a YouTube video or an online course or whatever. And just get your camcorder or your iPhone or whatever you want to use. It really doesn't matter what kind of camera you have. People get so hung up on gear. The most important thing is your story that you have to tell. Don't tell a boring story. You know, a good story and good acting is the best thing, and it can be very simple. But get out there with your camera, you know, even if it's a couple friends as your actors or whatever, start somewhere and tell a 3 to 5 minute story and post it on YouTube and see how it does. Share it with your friends, but just start making movies, start making short films, start making YouTube videos. Just do something and get it out there. And from there, I think you'll find where you need to head. But don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anybody tell you no.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you now, what is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get to take away from your films? I know that you know, everybody kind of has their idea of what something should be, you know, like any product that they put out, you know, or any
product. Right.
What would you say is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your films and your art?
That's a good question. Don't go hiking at night in the Appalachian Trail in the Great Smoky Mountains or you'll get abducted by aliens. No, just kidding. Now, you know, for me, the biggest thing is I want it to be entertaining. I want people to walk away and say, you know, wow, either that was a fun ride, or hey, that made me think, or wow, there were some interesting, you know, concepts there. You know, whatever it is, or I really like that one character. As long as there's something that entertains you and something that you gravitated towards, you know, my job's done is the way I look at it. I'm not looking to change your life or hit you over the head with some, like, deep message or anything like that. That's not what this movie is. This is a fun, you know, popcorn kind of popcorn movie in a sense, but it's also a thinking man's popcorn movie. You know, there's we've done a lot of things to kind of make you think. We haven't answered every little question. You know, not everything's tied up in the neatest of bows at the end. There's going to be some things where you're like, wow, he didn't really answer that, and that's on purpose. You know, I love movies that make me think. I love movies that make me say, wow, why did that happen? And I wonder what happened after that. So, you know, if I can make people think and it's a fun ride and they enjoy themselves, then, hey, mission accomplished.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, Eric, my last question is where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of your new projects?
Yeah, thanks. So if you go to my website, BlueLanternFilms.com, or even just go to Facebook and look up Beacon Point on Facebook, you'll get a link to all the information about the movie. We hit video on demand pretty much all the different platforms, except for Netflix. We always do Netflix very last just because it's subscription-based. But May 2nd, we come out across the world on video on demand. And then July 4th, we hit DVD, Redbox, Walmart, Target, all that good stuff. So, yeah, please check it out. It's an awesome movie. There's a lot of really good talent in there. The acting is phenomenal. And I think people will really enjoy it. We've been getting great reviews. We got a really high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is awesome. And, yeah, just have fun with it, you know. If you like it, shoot me an email, Facebook friend me, whatever. I'm the kind of guy that is real accessible. I love to have, you know, back and forth conversations. If you didn't, you know, if you want to discuss an aspect of the movie, I'm here to discuss it. So that's the fun thing about indie filmmakers. They're very accessible.
Absolutely. I'll definitely say so.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well Walker, thank you, man. Thanks for having me. And again,
www.bluelanternfilms.com.
Check it out. And I hope to hear from some of your listeners.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks, Walter. Best of luck.
Thank you so
much.
Take
care.
Bye. Guys, that was film director Eric Blue. We'll put the link to his website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Download the Stitcher Smart Radio app, available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You heard this interview with Eric. We're also available in the Google Play Music store. Search Google Play Music. Search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Eric. Lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to our show by just going to the Roku channel store and searching for our show name. Download the app. Once you download the app, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Return, April 29th and 30th at Metropolitan Park. With Def Leppard and Soundgarden. Also featuring A Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Seether, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, Coheed and Cambria, The Pretty Reckless, Highly Suspect, Nothing More, and The Offspring. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for GA, VIP, and package tickets, additional information, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.